going to be again this morning. Romans chapter 8. There we are, going to do some body work this morning. My first car was a 67 Volkswagen Squareback, tan with two orange fenders. The orange fenders were taken off another Squareback trying to keep the thing moving along in the right direction. That car had a few issues. It belonged to my Uncle Bob, and he was ready to take it to the scrapyard, and with good reason. The steering on that thing was so loose that as you went down the road, you drifted from one side of the lane to the other, and you constantly had to be steering just so you could go straight. The floorboards were all but gone so that the fumes came up through, and you got a little lightheaded sometimes if you drove it too far. The heater ducts and the defroster ducts were all completely rusted out, rendering them absolutely useless. No heat, no defrost. But the one thing that kept it from getting inspected were these holes in the fenders and in the body panels. I had a mechanic who was willing to slap a sticker on it if we could just make it look like it belonged on the road. Now, this was 44 years ago, so, you know, inspections I don't think were quite as stringent as today. And I begged my uncle to give the car to me rather than have it scrapped. And against his better judgment, he did just that. So I bought myself some Bondo and sandpaper and a can of tan paint. And I puttied her up and I sanded her down and I brushed it with I brush painted the whole car. Just getting rid of those orange fenders was a huge improvement. I was quite pleased with the job I had done, and so I motored on down to the garage, and the mechanic came out, and he looked at my bodywork, and he took his finger, and he poked it right through the first hole that I had patched. Then he went to the next one, and he pokey, 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 aha, he couldn't get through. He took the back end of his screwdriver and popped, right? I felt completely violated. So I go home, found some flashing from the roof, aluminum flashing, pop riveted over the holes, a little more putty, a little more paint, went back down the road, and that time I got my sticker. I think the mechanic was convinced I couldn't go fast enough in that car to hurt myself, and that's why he let me go. Body work was the least of that car's worries, but at least it got me on the road. In Christ, you have some body work to do, lest what's inside your heart is rendered useless. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Father, we want to please you. As we're learning in this series, pleasing you pleases us. And there's no other path to happiness than that. So make us wise. Help us, teach us, disciple us, and bring us to a better place. Should you tarry by this time next year, as we sit in these seats, may we be closer to you and have completed more of what you've called us to do than ever before in our lives. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our teaching this morning begins with our minds. Paul said that there are two choices for a mindset. There is a sinful nature, and there is the spirit. The reason we start with the mind is because the body will do what the mind dictates. Everything you do starts right up here. It starts with it could be a lie. It could be the truth. But you believe something. And because you believe it, that gets you motivated. It gets you moving. How many always feel like going to work on Monday morning? You just can't wait until that alarm clock goes off for you, whatever time it is for you, 7 in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, whatever. time you get, oh, you feel like going. But past the feeling, you have a thought, don't you? No worky on Monday, no paychecky on Friday. So you pull yourself out of that bed and you get moving. The body will do what the mind dictates. If your mind is controlled by the sinful nature, your body will live in sin. But if your mind is controlled by the Spirit, your body will serve the Lord. Most people are satisfied with looking religious. That's the body work. Just put on some putty, fill the holes, make it look like it belongs in church. Make it look like it belongs, like it's on its way to heaven. They're satisfied with an outward appearance. But they don't change the mindset from sinful nature to spirit. They come into church, may even get born again. But they don't work on their mind. They just let their mind stay wild rather than taming it. Don't be conformed to the world any longer, Paul says in a couple chapters, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's an active work you and I have to do. If we just let our mind go, well, you know what happens. If you just let your mind go, you get a call from the doctor and they say, well, we've done some tests and we'll have results in 2 weeks. Don't worry. For how many is that enough? The doctor said, don't worry. And so, you know, what does your mind, I don't know about yours, but mind always goes worst case scenario, you know, check the life insurance policy and, you know, all those kinds of things. Good news comes back and you feel better and all that, but hey, our minds are wild by nature and they need to be brought under the subjection of the Holy Spirit and under the comfort of God. We have been deceived into thinking that we are in control whenever our sinful nature is in control. See, we're born into sin, and that's natural to us. And we think we're having our way when we're living sinful. I'm doing what I want to do. We do what we feel like doing. There's been a saying that's grown in popularity over the last 20 years. If it feels good, do it. If it feels good, do it. Used to check those feelings at the door, but not anymore. Just let it go. However, as we've already learned in our study, just because something feels good when we do it doesn't mean that it's going to feel good a moment later or 10 minutes later or 10 days or 10 years later. What we do in the moment can affect us for the rest of our lives. We talked about going to the smorgasbord and learning. We got everything our eyes desired. And, ooh, have you been to the dessert bar? No, I haven't. What do they have there? And, that tastes so good. But then, before we make it to the parking lot, why did I do that to myself? Didn't I tell myself I wasn't going to do that? We regret it. Felt good in the moment. But a moment later, venting your anger can feel wonderful in the moment, but have dire consequences moving forward, such as unemployment. Satisfying a pang of lust may feel great in the moment, but cause severe problems for the rest of your life. Going into debt for a vacation may seem necessary at the time, but oh, the credit card bill comes month after month and they've added interest to it. Now, catch this. You are not in control whenever your sinful nature is in control. You are out of control when your sinful nature is in control. That's why you keep doing things you said you're not going to do again, you don't really want to do. You're not in control when the sinful nature is in control. The world has lied to us. It has deceived us. It said that's natural. There was a release. There was a momentary pleasure. But man, the consequences. All we do when we live by our sinful nature is we give the devil a line into our life. We're actually giving the controller over to him, and he starts pushing the buttons and flipping the switches. And the deeper we get into that, the more trouble we get into, the more habitual our sinful nature becomes. So what kind of advice do you think the devil gives to people? He's here to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So when you give him opportunity to speak in your life, and I've skated on this ice this week. I've been right on the edge where this is the way I wanted to feel, and it was destructive, and this is what God was calling me to feel. This is the direction he was calling me to. And I have to tell you, being over here in self-pity and wallowing and getting angry, it felt pretty good. But I knew it wasn't going the right direction. And even while I was leaning that direction, I could hear the Father saying to me, "Son, you know better." And thank the Lord, he helped me find my equilibrium and get back. But boy, that's one thing I hate about the flesh. It's awful tasty. I don't know how many love turkey Thanksgiving. My mom always knew that I got the first piece off of the breast because it had the skin on it. I would rather eat the skin than any of the meat of that turkey. I just love that crisp when it, and not a lot, but just a little bit of that fat on it. Just help it to slurp on. Anybody, I don't know if you're with me or not, but there's something about me that loves the flesh. And even when we've walked in the Spirit, there is this old nature that wants to come back, make a comeback. You know, we're always vying for territory, the Spirit and the flesh. And when we're in the flesh, we're longing for the Spirit. And when we're in the Spirit, it seems like the flesh seems to call us the other way. But don't listen to that advice. Here's some of the advice that the flesh gives us. Go get drunk. How many problems do you think that ever solved? Punch that guy right in the mouth. Well, that never ends well. When will we learn that the deeds of the flesh are trying to kill us? You are not in control when you yield to the sinful nature. It's knocking on your door. It sounds like your voice. It feels like that's what I should do. It's, no. Destruction, death. However, when you accept Jesus as your Savior and you invite the Holy Spirit in, you now have an option. I no longer have to live according to the flesh. There's another door that is open to me. At first, it may seem strange and foreign and distant, and that's not natural to me, but the Spirit will not overwhelm you. When you get saved, the Spirit will not make it so that you can't sin anymore. You have no evil desires. He will not control you. He will give you an opportunity to control yourself. That's why one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. You get that? Isn't that profound? We think we're in control when we're doing everything we want. And here we're completely out of control, and it's never landing well. Stan was talking in prayer this morning about a couple of guys that he met at Morningstar who came and gave their testimony about how sad they are now because of the way they've lived their lives. They have alienated their wife. They have alienated their kids from them. And here they are. They're just sad. They did it their way. They lived the way they wanted to. But the results have been agonizing. Walking a righteous path doesn't always feel good in the moment, but it feels great after the fact. The Bible says, bless those who persecute you. Give, serve, deny yourself, obey Christ. And I can tell you from both the witness of Scripture and personal experience, God blesses you when you walk according to His Spirit. I know we have a lot of arguments with ourselves, right? But I don't feel like doing that. Well, you ought to talk to so-and-so. You're mad at them. You need to go reconcile. I don't want to reconcile. They should be reconciling with me. But I know for a fact when you obey the Holy Spirit, He has blessing and good in mind. So here are our choices. Every one of us has these choices. And we meet them daily. Live according to the sinful nature, which may yield a little pleasure that is short-lived and long regretted. Or live according to the Spirit, which may be difficult at first, but is followed by the affirmation of God and is rewarded as only He can. Can you say amen to those truths? We've lived that, haven't we? We've been on both sides of this, each one of us. There are times we yielded to the flesh and there have been times when we persevered and gave ourselves over to the Spirit and say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. I'm so glad I kept my mouth shut. I'm so glad I turned away from that. I'm so glad I resisted that temptation. On to verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. I took a piece of paper. I drew a line down the middle. On the left, I labeled it sinful nature. On the right, spirit. And I went through these scriptures, and I noted the differences between the two. First of all, for the sinful nature, people have their mind set on what the sinful nature wants. What the sinful nature wants. The mind of sinful man is death. You wonder why people are so gone on skulls and death. And the mind of sinful man is death. Their mind is hostile to God. That mind does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. It cannot please God. When we are in our sinful nature, we cannot please God. We try to throw him a bone every once in a while. Well, I'll go to church. Well, I'll give in the offering. Well, I'll do this work of service over here. I'll take care of that. But our mindset, when it is sinful, it's always for a sinful reason. They'll think good of me. People will think I'm a good Christian. Maybe I'll even impress God. But our motives are all wrong and convoluted. We're just throwing God a bone. Doesn't that explain why the Pharisees, even though they tithed down to the littlest herb in their garden, they were so gone on finances that they would actually foreclose on widows' houses. And they'd memorize scripture, but they missed the Messiah when he showed up. So they were soaking in some spiritual things, but their mindset was still centered on the flesh. I want more money. I want to be important. I want everybody to like me. I'm going to wear these robes. I'm going to get my badge so that everybody respects me in the marketplace. It was always the flesh, always the flesh. Does that explain why so much of the church world today is actually antichrist? They deny his word, disobey his commands, and violate his trust. They don't care what the Word of God says. This is the way society is going today, and they want to keep in step with that. They want to be seen in a good light as far as the world is concerned. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Their mind is life and peace, not violence and death. Their body is dead because of sin. Their spirit is alive because of righteousness. And the Spirit will give life to your body. When your mind is set on the Spirit, all these things are you. Let's take a look at this body is dead because of sin thing, because that's kind of a curious comment. When you're alive in the Spirit, your body is dead. Paul tells us that with the Spirit, we can put to death the misdeeds of the body. And this is the death it's talking about here. There are certain things our body does. There are certain things our sinful nature wants that are wrong, that are hurtful, that are harmful. They harm us. They harm the people we love. They hurt our relationships with both God and man. And we can't help ourselves. That's who we are, and it just comes out naturally. But God said, I will give you the Spirit, and you'll be able to control those desires or even put them to death. And when you have the Spirit's mindset, He gives you the controls you need. Oh, maybe not the first day on the job, but God will help you to overcome those difficulties that you stumbled over before. When you are, your mind is controlled by the Spirit, your body is dead. Because, and this is a truth you need to believe. You need to stop feeling like, well, I can't. I never have and I never will. Never is, that's not in God's vocabulary. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Your body, the devil may have convinced you of a lie. You need to dig that out with this kind of truth. Oh, no. My body is dead because the Spirit lives in me. My body will not control what I do. My old mind will not control what I, my experience will not control what I do, because I have a new mind and it's controlled by the Spirit of God. Now notice, the Spirit will give life to your body. You'll have a new life. It's not like you're dead. Your body, even your body will have a new life. You will enjoy new things. The Spirit, number four, is Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Your spirit used to be dead. Now it's alive. Now you enjoy worship. Now you enjoy the things of God. I stepped out this morning to take the dog for a walk. Little crescent moon, just a thumbnail of a moon, and a star down over here. And Orion was off to my right. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. It just was gorgeous. And we sang that song this morning about the glory of God fills the earth. And I thought of that picture this morning. I thought of the clouds I saw yesterday. I said, that's true. Yesterday morning when I slept in a little bit, took the dog for a walk, there was a fog over the soccer field up there at the YMCA. And your glory fills the, it really does. You know, there weren't high clouds, just over the soccer field. And I'd taken my run early and so on, and got out there, and just the feel of the air was just crisp and beautiful, and then the sunshine came out. We don't recognize it enough, but this earth is filled with His glory. Just stepping outside, going through the woods, to a river, to the ocean, the earth is filled. And when you get in tune with the Holy Spirit, those songs start singing to you. That starts witnessing to you. You become part of that vibe. You're marching to the beat of a different drummer. Yeah, you've given up old, dead, tired things that destroy people. Oh, you're going to miss that? But now you're alive. You step out in the morning, and all of a sudden you got goosebumps because you know you're not alone. And He has done this just for you. And you see it with your eyes, and you're drinking it in. How great is our God. This is the crucifixion. The old nature has to die. It's not comfortable, it's not easy, but we start the process. Okay, God, you've given me all this equipment. Your word tells me that I have a new spirit within me. Let's see what this baby will do. All right? I don't want to do this anymore. I've been telling myself long enough. I've been trying. I am a complete failure. Holy Spirit, help me. Here's the issue I need to work on. I'm giving it over to you. Will you help me, dear God? Woo! And the Lord just stomps His feet, and He gets all excited. His nostrils flare. Will I help you? What do you think I died on the cross for? I've been waiting for you to come around to this truth and to begin to ask these kinds of requests. And through resurrection, a new life emerges out of your life. You're not the person you used to be. Not even since you've been saved. Not over the last, if you've been saved for 40 years, not even over the last 10 years. There's always a new person emerging because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit working in and through you. You're not losing or missing out by denying your flesh. You are transforming it to desire good rather than evil things. Let that soak in. You know, when we're young, we always say, oh, what do I give up to follow Christ? What do I give up to follow Christ? Am I willing? You give up death for life. That's what you gave up. You give up pain for joy. That's what you give up. And you've learned now that God is the way to life. Your needs will be satisfied in full, rather than baited and mutilated. When our friend Dorrant Brown was with us the last time, you might remember if you were here for that Wednesday night service, he gave this quote from somebody else, and I may have butchered it a little bit. I tried to remember it best I could. Temptation is an attempt to satisfy a legitimate need through satanically inspired means. Temptation is an attempt to satisfy a legitimate need. You have needs. But temptation is trying to fulfill it the wrong way. God tests us. The devil tempts us. Now, I want you to see this. Even when the devil is tempting us, it is God who is in control. He allows the enemy to tempt us because it is a test for us. And as we pass the test, as we gain discipline through fighting that battle, we are strengthened and the reward is all the greater. The harder the battle, the greater the reward. Anyone who professes to be in Christ must trust his ways, timing, and provision. The hardest thing we have ever heard from God is, just wait. God, I know that you will, and God, I am trusting in you. And so often he'll say, just wait. Be honest with you. How many hate that? Just wait. But I have found he knows what he's doing. Even in the pain of the waiting, he's building. He's seeing. He's testing us.